Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome into the Jim Rome Show. As you heard, I'm Bill Ryder filling in. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for being here. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Great show planned for you on the program today. Former NBA head coach and coach of the year, Avery Johnson, is going to be on the show about 30 minutes from now. I'm really interested in the idea of the challenges of managing egos and the X's and O's in the NBA when guys are trapped in a bubble. You and I, if you're listening here on CBS Sports Radio or watching on CBS Sports Network, we benefit from NBA players being willing to uproot their lives, leave their family and loved ones, go in a bubble. This is, and I hope this isn't true, but it may be the only way, in this country at least, to execute successfully some professional sports. I'm rooting for Major League Baseball. I'm certainly rooting for the NFL. But clearly the bubble is the best option. There's no guarantee that NBA players next year are going to go into a bubble for an entire season. And there's no guarantee we're going to be to place, even let's say Christmas Day, if we push the NBA season off that long, that things in this country are going to be back to normal. So let's enjoy it while we can. But there are some unique challenges for the folks that are actually in the bubble, giving us some hoops. And Avery will give us some perspective on how he will go about managing. Man, at least if it were me in a bubble, I'd be a very ornery guy. I would not be the happiest dude on earth. John Paul Morosi, one of my favorite MLB writers, reporters in the country, going to be on the Jim Rome Show in about an hour. Will Brinson will talk some NFL with us, CBS Sports NFL Insider, about an hour and a half. And we'll close out the show with my buddy Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk. We'll hit a bunch of stuff. And those of you that keep hitting me up on Twitter at SportsRiter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, thank you. But no, I don't think Jim and the guys want me to do 3 hours of tennis talk. So I appreciate the request. Won't be able to do that. Would love to hear from you, though. 1-800-636-8686. RomeandHeavyTake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. One of the many bizarre things going on in sports this year is, for the NBA, at the end of the regular season, having to spend this return, these 8 games, getting a real grasp on who these teams are. Normally, in a normal time, April 1st-ish, when the season's starting to wind down, you know who everybody is. You know what their weaknesses are. You know how they're performing. You know where they're at in terms of their rhythm. It's different now. Yesterday, we saw from that Lakers organization what we expected, and we talked to Bill Oram on the show about this. The Lakers are the best team or the second best team or maybe the third best team in the NBA. They are, along with the Clippers and the Bucks, one of the three absolute favorites to win an NBA championship. And the fact that their offense hadn't been particularly effective over what was 2 games before yesterday's win really isn't the end of the world. And Utah's an interesting team. Mike Conley playing well makes Utah, I think, an interesting team. You knew the Lakers were going to eventually figure it out. And the solution, the math, the X's and O's, the strategy behind it does not require a basketball Mensa genius. 2 games ago, Anthony Davis took 7 shots. Yesterday, he took 27 shots. And it's that simple. You feed your stars. You go with the guys who are critical to your success. LeBron and AD are going to equal how the Lakers do. Just like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and in a different degree, in a different situation in Milwaukee, and I'm not trying to disrespect Chris Middleton because I think he deserves the moniker All-Star, but for that team, it's Giannis and how those guys shoot from the three-point line. What I think's been more interesting than those teams that we know what they're going to be are the teams that maybe we don't or we haven't given enough respect to. Watching that Utah team, they just don't have, I don't believe, the offensive firepower. We saw it yesterday to compete with some of the big boys. But there are 4 or 5 teams that I think are, for varying reasons and to varying degrees, grossly underrated or underappreciated. In fact, I thought about this yesterday here on the show because one of you clones asked why the Pacers don't get any love, and it was a fair question. That's a team that has one of the best defenses in the NBA. TJ Warren, over this bubble, this is a fun fact for you. This will not last, but let's enjoy it, Indianapolis, while we can, is the leading scorer in the bubble right now. It didn't hurt he had a 53-burger recently, but he's played really well. Victor Oladipo, and I'm not, this is my personal philosophy. I will criticize guys for basketball things or football things or baseball things. I'm not going to criticize any athlete who chooses to play professional sports in this crazy time or any athlete who says, you know what, I'm out. I need some time. Victor Oladipo has changed his mind, which is his right. He wasn't going to play, and now he is. That makes the Pacers markedly more dangerous than they would have been. Remember, for most of the year, the Pacers were a top four team, the fourth seed, more or less, 4-5, in an Eastern Conference. It's really interesting and really deep without Oladipo. So you throw in Oladipo, T.J. Warren's playing the way that he has and the way that he, you know, can. He's their leading scorer. Malcolm Brogdon hasn't shot as well as he did last year in Milwaukee. But remember, Brogdon's one of 11 guys in the history of the NBA to be a 50-40-90 guy, to shoot 50% or better from the field, 40% or better from the three-point line, 90% or better from the free throw line. Steve Nash is on that list. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry on that list. Larry Bird is on that list. I think Mark Price is on that list. It's pretty exclusive company. The guy's a remarkable shooter. So yes, clone, whose name escapes me now, I apologize. And I know we were going back and forth on Twitter yesterday. Yes, the Pacers deserve some respect. The Pacers don't get talked about the way that they should. Are they going to win an NBA championship? I don't think they are, but the Pacers' defense is as good as the Rockets' offense is this year. It is. And you know, and I know, if you're from the Midwest like I am, I'm from Iowa. My kids were born in Missouri, actually in the Kansas side, but in Kansas City, a town like Indianapolis doesn't get a whole lot of shine unless they make a really deep run. But that's a team to keep an eye on. Another one of the teams that I think is really dangerous in the bubble and isn't getting the respect that it deserves is the team that will face almost certainly the Pacers in the postseason, and that's the Miami Heat. This bubble, and one of the things we don't know, and it's really interesting, we don't know who's going to respond well to being in a bubble and who's going to respond badly. I don't think you can overstate or overthink that for any guys, anybody, but certainly young guys who play in the NBA who can't be with their girlfriends, who can't be with their wives, who can't be with their buddies or their families, some people are going to respond really poorly to that. Some people are going to get really stressed out. They're going to be miserable. They're not going to function the same way, and some guys aren't. Is T.J. Warren with the Pacers putting up big numbers because he plays better in a neutral court sort of pickup style, or has he gotten lucky? We don't know. We don't have the sample size yet, but it's going to have an impact. Is the reason, and I'm not putting the Rockets on my underrated list, because I think we know they've got two MVPs, former MVPs in that team. But part of the reason the Rockets have played so well is maybe because this sort of pickup style affects them in a positive way. I think the Heat are going to really benefit from being in the bubble. Remember, this is a Miami Heat team that has in Jimmy Butler, when he plays and he plays with some consistency, the ability to channel everything that's problematic about Jimmy Butler and turn it to an advantage. Let's just be honest here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. I'm not going to lie to you. It gets me in trouble sometimes when I say the things that are true that other NBA writers won't say, but to hell with it. Jimmy Butler's not a particularly likable guy in the NBA, in the work sphere. I have no idea if he's a nice guy away from the office. Probably is. Guys don't like playing with him. Guys in Minneapolis did not like Jimmy Butler. Karl Anthony Towns, and say what you want about Anthony Towns living up to his potential, did not like Jimmy Butler. Period. Full stop. And then Jimmy Butler went to Philly. And you know what that was? It was going to be a test of whose fault the lack of success in Minneapolis was. Was it Jimmy Butler or was it the rest of those young guys that they couldn't get along? And Jimmy Butler couldn't get along with a pretty talented, young, but pretty talented Sixers team. There aren't many places Jimmy Butler can go and have the kind of chemistry that is necessary in a successful playoff run. It matters in a serious way. Any NBA player, coach, executive will tell you over a beer or two, guys liking each other, or at least not hating each other, is critical to success. And the bubble's going to exacerbate those things. And Butler found in Miami the right fit. He's still a little difficult. He's still a little problematic, but that chip on his shoulder, that anger, that I'm going to grind it out, I'm going to compete, I'm going to judge the guys who don't keep up, fits in a Miami Heat culture. Eric Spoelstra will get 100% from every single player on that roster, or that player won't be there. See Dion Waiters. Dion Waiters has actually been an interesting contributor for the Lakers. The guy can play basketball. He's just not in Miami because he won't give it his all every single moment. That fits Butler to a T. That Heat team a nice collection of young players. I love Bam Adebayo. Eric Spoelstra's experience, two-time NBA champion, and a great coach, even away from LeBron. Their focus on defense, those things are going to be significant. And look, I covered the Heat for a while. I lived in Miami for that job. Not taking shots at Miami fans. They're great fans. They just don't go to that many games. There is no home court advantage of any real substance in Miami. So nothing is lost for the Heat in playing a neutral court. Another team that I think is grossly underrated, potentially, including by me, and they lost yesterday, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because as much as I like to joke about Chris Paul and tell true stories about my interactions with the guy, he is, I don't think you can find a more talented point guard in the regular season since Isaiah Thomas of the Pistons. And I recognize all the names that we're skipping. And I'm not going to put LeBron James on the point guard list for the sake of this conversation, even though technically LeBron. So take the point forwards and put him away. I think Chris Paul's a much better point guard, for example, than Russell Westbrook, who has a point guard, won an MVP. I do. Now, the difference is it has to translate to the postseason, and I've talked a lot about why it doesn't with Chris Paul, but he's still a massively talented guy. And that Thunder team is really interesting. The sort of geeky, which fits me well, metric and math behind trying to sort of figure out and handicap who's got a legitimate chance to make a run is you have to be top 10 in offensive and defensive rating, historically. And if you're in the top 5 in both, you're a championship contender. And one team last year I was going to put money on and didn't because I'm dumb is the Raptors. They were one of the few teams that were top 5 in both. I didn't buy it. They won an NBA championship. The Thunder aren't there, but they're close. 12th in offense, 9th in defense. And the way that Chris Paul has played over the course of this bubble, and I think for Chris Paul, it's very similar to what you're going to see from LeBron James. Chris Paul is at the end, not the beginning, of his journey of his career. Nobody wants to be Dan Marino. Nobody wants to be the greatest of all time not to do what greats are supposed to do, and that's win a championship. Nobody wants to be Clayton Kershaw. In fact, I want to hit this in a few hours. I have a list of guys I'm interested in who are nearing the end of their career. Phillip Rivers-ish, who have to get a championship to live up to their massive talent. Chris Paul's one of those guys, and I think you're going to see an absolute hunger from him. The West is a murderer's row of teams, but I think that team is grossly underrated. There's two more. Again, early in this bubble, like 5 days into this bubble, whatever it is, two or three games per team, that I think don't get the appreciation they deserve. Another one is the Denver Nuggets. And the reason Denver doesn't get the attention it deserves baffles me. Because the NBA, unless you have LeBron James, is a ladder. It is. You have to learn to climb rung by rung. It usually takes years to get to an NBA championship. So you're bad, and you sort of learn what that's about. Then you're close to a playoff team or a playoff team, and that's another rung, and you figure that out a little bit. And then maybe you win a playoff series, and that's an important step. And for Denver, as they go through this process, behind a really, really talented superstar in Nikola Jokic, and an interesting young core, and they're really well coached, last year, don't forget, that Nuggets team went 7 games, lost at home in Game 7, against a Portland Trailblazers team that eventually won that series and made the conference finals. But that was an important step for Denver. And all that they've done is add another year of experience, another year of belief, and yesterday was a reminder of the way in which Denver plays the long game to the benefit, certainly of a few years from now, but maybe now as well. Michael Porter Jr. came out of my alma mater, the University of Missouri, would have been, I don't know, number one, a top 3 pick in the NBA draft had he been healthy. He wasn't. He barely played. Fell to 14 or 15, wherever that was, 14 for the Nuggets. That dude dropped almost 40 points yesterday in a big win because he's got that kind of talent. That's a weapon that a team that almost made a conference finals has added nobody's talking about. Bol Bol, another long shot, can be an absolute difference maker. Do not sleep on the Nuggets. And then the final team I want to hit here, before we shift gear to some NFL talk. And if you want to call, by the way, I'd love to hear from you. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAndHaveATake.com. At Jim Rome, JimRome.com. Think about, this team should not be underrated. And by the way, I'm guilty. I doubted these guys and have rolled my eyes at their success all year. I was wrong. The Toronto Raptors have the 3rd best record in the NBA. They have the 2nd best defense behind the Bucks in the NBA. they have in Pascal Siakam a rising star. And Nick Nurse, there's a lot of guys that could fit this category, maybe the coach of the year. And then the defending champions, who have been utterly disrespected. And yes, talent wins in the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard, we'll find out, another unanswered question, might be the most talented player in the game in the postseason. We will find that out very shortly. I think there's a chance that he is. It'll be him or LeBron. With all respect to the silliness of this is, and that's a different topic for later in the show, this is AD's team with the Lakers. No, it's stop it. No, it's not. Stop. I remember those headlines with Kyrie, too. Just be quiet. Just Lakers writers, I know you're looking for stuff to write about. Write something else, please. I understand that Kawhi is on that same level in the playoffs. But you're the defending champions. You have the second-best defense in the game. You have a superstar. You have maybe the best or one of the best coaches in the NBA. You have the third-best record in the National Basketball Association, and you embarrass the Lakers in this sort of restart where we're trying to figure out what's going on. The Raptors are grossly underappreciated and grossly underestimated. And normally, talking about this or even thinking about it would be an exercise and, you know, be honest, but it'd be futile because the NBA usually only has a handful of teams that can win the whole thing. I think it's going to be different this year. It doesn't mean it won't be L.A., one of those two L.A. teams versus Milwaukee, but you shouldn't be surprised if the Celtics or the Raptors or the Heat make a run. If a team like the Pacers or Denver or Portland, but they're not going to be able to beat the Lakers, Houston beat a team they shouldn't. Yes, yes, the Clippers, Lakers, and Bucks are the favorites. But the odds that both L.A. teams make a conference finals and the Bucks make a finals are not as high as you think they are and not as high as they normally would be because things are going to look and feel different. And we've seen that a little bit. We've experienced that a little bit. I mean, yeah, the Lakers won against Utah yesterday, and AD had a great game. They look vulnerable to me. They miss Avery Bradley in a big way. Some of these teams, and the teams I'm mentioning, teams like the Pacers, maybe the Thunder, certainly the Heat. Heat and Pacers, it's too bad they're going to play each other in round one. Those are dangerous. Those are COVID-19 teams you don't want to face. The Denver Nuggets, and absolutely the Raptors. These are great basketball teams. And I don't think any of those teams outside of the Raptors make an NBA Finals, but I think they can take down a team that should. Get ready for some chaos because of these underappreciated NBA teams. Appreciate your listening to the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm Bill Ryder. If anyone doesn't deserve an opportunity again, it's Antonio Brown. But the news coming out in the last 24 hours, 36 hours about AB just reminds you, fair or not fair, it's not fair, but it's life. Talent overcomes everything, including acting like a scumbag. We'll get into that in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations, the result, the latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation. Introducing the new mattress from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support. Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned with when you sleep. And there's something brand new called Airscape. Engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature from bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed. Oh yeah. Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. Look, I love feeling on the Jim Rome Show, but I don't get a lot of sleep when I do it because I work nights and I threw my back out. This is true. Playing tennis the other day, thank God for my Casper mattress or I would be in so much pain right now. Save me. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery and as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com and use code ROME for $100 off your mattress order. That's code ROME for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. I am Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. This weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker Trophy, or will someone else step up to take their place in history? The PGA Championship is live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on CBS. Isn't that amazing? Koepka's won two in a row. That guy is a baller when it comes to majors. Cannot wait. So good to have real sports back. And it's great to be talking to you about him here on the Jim Rome Show. Thank you for listening. 1-800 636-8686. RomanHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter, JimRome.com. You can also hit me up at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Let's get to a few tweets. Bellingham Fitz tweets, I don't know what's harder to believe. College football players finally getting a clue as to the amount of power they have, or that people think there will be a significant number of games this year. I'm with you on both fronts. It was a couple weeks ago when I was filling in for Jim that I said this. There should not be a college football season in the fall. Or at least they should plan on spring football. And if there's a miraculous turnaround, because I love miracles, I'm in. I'd love something amazing to happen as it relates to this pandemic in 2020. But short of that, don't do it. And you're right. The players have always had a massive amount of power. It's just hard. You know the old saying, I assume it's true. I'm not an expert on circuses. Ritt is, though. I'll have to ask him later. Where you take an elephant and you put a chain on it when it's young. And then you slowly turn it into a string. And then eventually a big elephant's on a string. It doesn't know it can pull away. Those are college athletes. They have been conditioned from an early age into the history of the sport to believe they have no say over a multi-billion dollar enterprise that they are the engine for. And the pandemic is waking folks up to it. I don't know how Alvin does it. Just like he has circus music just ready to roll. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Ryder filling in. Hansonian 88 tweets, as far as college football goes, they need to just shut it down. It's like going to the dentist. I hate the dentist. First, no non-conference games and a bunch of stars will opt out. Then it'll be start-stop until they finally have to can the whole season. All we're doing is prolonging the agony. You're right. In the Big 12 going to a 9+1 format where they're going to have one non-conference game, the announcement yesterday. By the way, and I don't have a lot of nice words often to say about the folks in Indianapolis, but I'm not mad at the various universities for attempting to get football off the ground. You know why? It's a business. Just like I'm not mad at my local restaurants for trying to stay in business. My brother owns a restaurant in Denver. Well, I'm not mad at any company for trying to find a way to keep the lights on and keep the money coming in. I get it. That's the American way, man. Capitalism doesn't mean you're going to be successful, and doesn't mean that your understandable desire to have income is mixed with foresight. That's what panic does to people. It is such a mistake to rush this back. And you're right. Guys are going to opt out. It's going to feel bizarre. If Major League Baseball, and we talked about this yesterday, but I think it bears repeating. If Major League Baseball, where guys are adults, and in theory, are markedly more mature than young men transitioning from high school to adulthood, if major leaguers, professional athletes, can't be responsible and keep COVID from spreading among the Marlins and the Cardinals, and we'll see what happens from here, how do you expect college athletes to do that? Where there's markedly more people that have to be in facilities together and traveling together. I don't think so. And last tweet at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Uncle_Hodge tweets, love the take on the Raps. Finally, someone give them the chance of respect they deserve. Thank you. It's nice of you. Don't praise me. I was swinging and missing on this for about the first 4 or 5 months of the season. But it's true. It's just a reality. And I think for me, too, just having, I don't know about you, but I am obsessively watching every NBA game now. And it's on all the time. It's amazing. And a lot of things there's not a lot of clarity yet in the NBA. There is with the Raptors. They play so well. They have such a chip on their shoulder. And again, they lost Kawhi. It's a significant loss. Takes them from being the front runner to, I don't know, the fifth or sixth most likely team to win an NBA championship. But that's still where they are. When's the last time a defending champion was a top, let's say, three in either offense or defense and had a top three record in the NBA and had this level of disrespect? It's not like they're 15th and 19th in offense and defense and they're a seven seed, but they're scrappy and they have experience. This is a great basketball team. And they just whooped up on the Lakers. I know the Lakers aren't playing for as much, right? They were able, with the one win against Utah yesterday, to lock in the one seed, but you want to get the rust off. LeBron, of all people, wants to play the game, right? Is a competitor and has been away from it. The Raptors are the real deal. You know what else is the real deal? And I hate it. I hate it. But it's a fact. We talk so often in life on various shows, on this show, on the Jim Rome Show, on Bill Ryder filling in, about what's right and what's wrong, what should happen and what shouldn't happen. If right and wrong were the overwhelming compass by which we followed how to make decisions, Antonio Brown would never play in the NFL again. Would never play in the National Football League again. The things that he has done, and I just mean his Twitter account, the things that he has said about his would-be employers and colleagues, and the things he's accused of doing should rule him in total, ineligible from the National Football League. And it would if the guy were a punter or not very talented or at the end of his career, were 39 years old. I mean, he's one of the most talented receivers in the history of the game. One of the most successful over the course of his career. And a few days ago, I got in my little inbox in my email, and I'm sure you saw it in the headlines, that the NFL suspended AB for 8 games for his behavior. And there's an investigation that continues as it relates to some of the more untoward allegations involving him and a young woman who painted a mural in his home. But the headline isn't NFL suspends AB 8 games. The headline is NFL invites Antonio Brown to come back to football. That's what that was. Yeah, he'll pay his 8-game price. But that's the National Football League telling teams, you can play him. It won't be 2 years. It won't be a year. It won't be forever. And lo and behold, not shocking, because talent wins out over everything, the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks, not the Jets, right? I can understand the New York Jets being like, you know what? AB, you fit with our culture. Come on in. Let's lose together. The Seahawks are one of the more successful organizations in the National Football League in professional sports. What Pete Carroll has done since leaving USC at Seattle is one of the more impressive accomplishments in sports. It just doesn't get the same kind of celebration because of that brutal letdown, what should have been their second Super Bowl under Carroll. They have said that they are scouting AB. They're open to it. As well as Josh Gordon, which I don't mind as much. I mean, he's a knucklehead, but there are some demons there that I have some sympathy for. But the next time the NFL gets high and mighty on some player doing something they shouldn't do, or high and mighty on guys who are kneeling during the anthem, which the NFL opposes until they didn't because the zeitgeist kind of shifted in this country, just please remember the Antonio Brown story. Antonio Brown doesn't get this opportunity if he's not a massively talented guy. And by the way, I'm a raging hypocrite here, just so you know. I'm in a ridiculously obnoxious and frustrating fantasy sports thing where it's baseball, the NBA, and the NFL, and we draft all three teams at the same time in February, and then you can trade NFL players for NBA players, and there's 16 of us, I think. If you get first in one of the three leagues, you get 16 points. If you get last, you get one. You do three leagues. But you're trading back, and I drafted Antonio Brown with the last pick last year of the draft because, A, I'm a hypocrite, and B, always bet on the greed of teams who put talent over morality. And I guess I fall into the same thing. My sort of moral excuse is I'm not employing the guy. It's fantasy sports. But I'm still a raging hypocrite. Because I know, especially in not just in sports, in everything, talent wins out over everything. If you are the CEO of a corporation that makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year and you get your third or fourth DUI, your lawyers are going to help you out and you're going to have your job, almost certainly, unless you're a celebrity CEO. If you are Joe Smith, who works in the office, and you get your third or fourth DUI, as you should, you're going to be fired. Fired. If I got a DUI, you know, not important enough to protect, but can kind of make an example of me and pretend people know who I am, I'm gone. But if the most talented people at my television network were to do the same thing, it's, you know, we have to give them second chances. Antonio Brown is that example on steroids, and I find it incredibly obnoxious. But prepare yourself. As weird as 2020 has been, it's going to get weirder because AB is going to play in the NFL. Then he's going to freak out. Then he's going to tweet what horrible people his bosses are. And the circle will continue. Come on. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome here on The Jim Rome Show. 1-800-636-8686. RomeToHaveATake.com. At Jim Rome. Sports Writer is my handle. Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Avery Johnson, my colleague at CBS Sports HQ. Former NBA head coach and coach of the year. Going to talk some hoops with me here on The Jim Rome Show.
Live from Southern California, this is The Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Thank you for listening on CBS Sports Radio and watching on CBS Sports Network. Phone number here, 1-800-636-8686. 636-8686. Email rome@heavytake.com. On Twitter, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm on there at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Man, I remember the good old days from 2 weeks ago in World Team Tennis, which I watched almost nonstop. And I was watching, and look, I wish I could speak Spanish. I just can't. I took it in college. I was watching La Liga MX. Yeah, totally unable to understand what was going on. Little table tennis, greatest hits from YouTube. And with all respect to all of those sports, it is really nice to be focused on real sports again. To be talking some NBA, to be talking some Major League Baseball. We'll hit later in the show. This is such a bummer. Yes, I live in LA, but I got no emotional investment whatsoever in the Angels. I just don't care one way or the other. But I love Shohei Ohtani and what he's about, what he represents, and the uniqueness of what his potential was for Major League Baseball shut down as a pitcher again this year. Such an absolute, absolute bummer. Trout's out for the time being, paternity leave. Shohei Ohtani's out because his arm is jacked up again. And it's negative and it's a bummer, but how nice we're talking about real and actual sports. Watching, and I'm still a little skeptical about the idea of some of these teams being in the NBA Orlando bubble. And I know that when Adam Silver and the Brain Trust in New York City put together these 22 teams, they didn't expect Bradley Beal to opt out of the Wizards. Talented guy. You'd want to see him do his thing. They didn't expect every single one, it feels like, of the Brooklyn Nets not to play. But even some of these ugly games and some of these ugly teams is really compelling theater. To have real sports again after it was taken away. I'm going to watch the PGA Championship this week. I always do, but with a newfound gratefulness and respect. Speaking of which, when you work in TV like I do, and you work with athletes and coaches, it's always amazing to work with folks who are incredible people as well. And that has been my experience with Avery Johnson, who's my colleague at CBS Sports HQ, longtime NBA player, former champion, NBA coach, coach of the year, college coach at Alabama. You can check him out. You can check me out. You can check folks out on CBS Sports HQ, pre and post, all the NBA games. And Coach joins me now. Avery, thanks for making time here on the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks, Bill. Excited to be on with you. How's it going?
You know, we're doing good. And I was just saying how nice it is to have hoops back. And, you know, to make me feel like things haven't changed, when I looked at these four Western Conference teams, Coach, that we're going to try to make a run of this 9 seed, the team I doubted the most and knew I shouldn't was the Spurs. And while they didn't get the outcome they wanted yesterday, Greg Popovich just continues, regardless of his personnel, to be competitive. What odds do you give San Antonio to be that final ninth team standing?
Well, I think their odds have improved. Unfortunately, they didn't defend an out-of-bounds play at the end of the game correctly. DeJounte Murray, you know, was out of position. They probably had a chance to win that game, but unfortunately they lost to Philadelphia. But this is a classic Coach Popovich coaching exhibition, you know, where he comes in and he's getting his team to play at a high level. The Spurs historically have been amazing in terms of developing players, whether it's Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, now it's DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker. Those kids, Keldon Johnson, this is like basketball 101 for the Spurs and their coaching staff and being able to develop players. But I think their chances have significantly increased, especially with Memphis faltering. I had Memphis going 2-6 in this new restart of the season and look like Bill, they're right on schedule to go 2-6.
Yeah, you called it. Avery Johnson here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Coach, that Mavericks team fits the idea that you go as far as your talent goes. You want to look out, if you're an NBA fan, at your team and see a superstar or two. Luka Doncic is a star. Porzingis has looked really good. I know they've got promising years in the years ahead. How serious a contender can they be? How far can they go this season?
I think they can be a serious contender. Obviously, they've kind of subbed their toe a little bit in these first two games. But when you have that type of offensive efficiency and that firepower And sure, Porzingis and Doncic, you know, may, as a 1-2 punch, maybe they're not ahead of LeBron James and Anthony Davis or Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But, boy, I sure put them right there in the top three. And when you have that type of firepower, that offensive flexibility and versatility, you know, they can shoot the three extremely well with a team that they can put on the floor where they can shoot it with all five positions. I just think they just improve a little bit more defensively, then they could be a team that could very well sneak out of the Western Conference, because this is a different year. This is not a normal year. So even though, you know, I have the Lakers coming out of the West and the Clippers are right there with them, I wouldn't be surprised. We just don't know what September and October holds. But when you have a team as deep as the Mavericks and that has the offensive efficiency that they have on a night-in and night-out basis, if their defense catches up a little bit, they can be very dangerous.
Avery Johnson here on the show. Yeah, Coach, I mean, you said it. There's so many unknowns in this restart and this postseason and what it means to operate in a bubble. And I know we don't have the answers, but you played the game. You won an NBA championship. You coached the game. You were Coach of the Year. What your best guess, how do you think the bubble, being away from family members, being away from girlfriends, wives, kids, buddies, you know, for teams that are here for a while, in what ways do you think it could impact players or team chemistry and performance?
Well, I just think from an emotional standpoint, you know, players still have feelings and they have a wide range of emotions. And, you know, those that have kids, they miss their kids, or if they're married, or, you know, if they're a parent or a relative that's dealing with a health situation, where during this time of the year, they normally could spend that time with them at home and help inspire them and be there, you know, for whatever they may need in their time. And this is birthdays, is anniversaries, is celebrations that normally during this time of the year, they could participate in those activities. So it's a normal feeling for guys sometimes to go through, you know, their down days. And sure, they're getting paid very well, and they're playing basketball. But we cannot ever forget the psychological, emotions that players and especially younger players may go through. It's just a fluctuations of emotions and the cycles of a restart of a season that's very, very challenging. And that's why I think it's important that the NBA instituted after the first round that a limited number of family members can join players in a bubble. I think that's going to be very important.
Avery Johnson here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in. Coach, longtime NBA player, former coach, CBS Sports HQ, NBA analyst. So in any job, NBA or otherwise, Coach, in normal times, if you work with colleagues that get on your nerves, you don't get along with, there's a personality conflict, you know, the job comes to an end at the end of the day, and you get to leave. Or even an NBA player, maybe you're on the road for a while, but eventually you get to go your own way, get some space. If there are some teams that don't get along as well as others, could that be an issue in Orlando bubble, where you're on top of each other day after day after day?
Yeah, that could be an issue. You know, chemistry and players, you know, wanting to spend that quality time with each other is very important, especially in the bubble. So if there's some friction and personality issues, or guys are not on the same page, and you basically have to live together for months, it could be a problem, and it could definitely derail your season. And that's why leadership is important on teams. You know, you can't be the captain and the class clown. You can't be the captain and a manipulator. So it's very important, and that's why you see teams like the Clippers. You know, they're going to excel because of their leadership with Kawhi Leonard and George, and LeBron's team's going to excel in the Western Conference. You know, Milwaukee's going to excel. And teams like, because of Antetokounmpo, but teams like Toronto, Kyle Lowry is a bona fide leader. And there's not going to be any disruption in the Toronto Raptors locker room, or they're not going to have chemistry issues because Kyle Lowry's going to put that fire out. I remember years ago, Bill, when the Boston Celtics, I think back in 2008, won the championship. I'll never forget a story Doc Rivers told me. He told me that Kevin Garnett said, hey, Doc, don't worry about the players. We're going to be fine. They're not going to go out. They're going to be focused. I'm going to handle the players. You just coach the team. And that's what you call bona fide leadership.
Avery Johnson here on the Jim Rome Show. Coach, I was a big skeptic of the Rockets when they went to this small ball look, and it's been a very, very, very small sample size, but Robert Covington's looked good. They're shooting 3 billion threes a game. They've won some games. Are you buying the Rockets as an actual contender?
Not quite buying them yet. I think this style of play without a true center or post guy or big guy that can help defend the paint, we'll just see how it plays out in a seven-game series. You know, win the NBA championship, you got to win 4 7-game series. And I'm just not quite sold that, you know, this type of, you know, system in terms of shooting 3 billion threes without any type of a post presence can work. Is it working now when defenses are a little bit further behind offenses in the bubble? Yes. Is it fun to watch? Absolutely. I absolutely love James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Those guys play. They play with a lot of tenacity. They know their strengths of their game. But I think it just remains to be seen. I think that's one of the biggest question marks. Can the Rockets sustain this type of offensive explosion? And especially when teams have a chance to just focus on the Rockets or one team in a seven-game series to try to minimize what they do on offense. We'll see what happens, but it sure is fun to watch.
Avery Johnson, absolute pleasure having you on the Jim Rome Show, and I'll see you on CBS Sports HQ, maybe tonight. I can't even remember my schedule, but very soon.
Yeah, we'll see you on CBS Sports HQ. Always love being on with you, Bill, and thanks for having me on.
You too, Coach. Thank you. Avery Johnson on the show. He's excellent. I mean, I'd like to think that there are already good reasons for you to watch CBS Sports HQ that you're aware of, but Avery Johnson is one of the great ones. I mean, the guy is just awesome, and his analysis pre- and post-game on CBS Sports Streaming Network, it's worth your time, and not just because I'm on there as well. Appreciate, Coach, being on the Jim Rome Show. Got to hit some baseball. I haven't talked baseball yet. On the one hand, season's underway. It's pretty exciting. Chris Bryant finally hit a home run yesterday, finally played. On the other hand, still some concerns about the spread of the virus and how it's going to impact the sport. Can't think of anyone I'd rather talk to about all this stuff than John Morosi, my buddy. He's going to join me on Bill Rutter next year on the Jim Rome Show.